Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Creative Conversations with your boy Blair, but you're my friend, so call me Brock. Tonight we got a special guest, man. He's just coming in to do what we do best and just shoot the shit for a little bit. Two artists, you know what I'm saying, getting to know each other a little bit on their creative tip. Give a warm round of applause, snaps for the photographer who has such dope skill, but also such a great sense of humor, man. Give it up for B Mars. What's going on with you, bro?
What's going on? What's going on, man? Appreciate the introduction, man. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to live life and have fun.
I feel it, man. It's all love, bro. It's all love, man. I remember when we met one time, and we kept up with each other since, but it was during the photo walk that B Chill had with the coolest Keith.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the black and white walk, bro. I remember you had us cracking up out there, but then you were showing out, man, without showing out, bro. You were out there.
Man, that's, you know, I just try to go through life, man, having fun, enjoying the moment, man. You never know when people be down, so I always try to take that opportunity to throw in some jokes and make some people laugh, so I appreciate that, bro.
Nah, man, definitely appreciate you, man. But before we get into it, heavy, do me a quick favor and let the people know a little bit about yourself.
All right, so I'm B Mars. A lot of people don't know my government. My government is Barry. I go by B Mars. It's just something I came up with and created when I was in college, starting off. Actually, the reason why I got into photography for the most part was I was doing football. I played football all the way up into college, and then I was just thinking to myself, sitting in my dorm room, like, man, I gotta figure something out, man. You know, football was my life. It was all the time. It took up all the time in the world. So I was like, I gotta figure out something, man. So I was like, man, I should look into doing photography, man. But I was like, is that like cool? You know what I'm saying? Like, is everybody gonna respect me? They're gonna be like, are you Barry the football player, Barry the photographer?
Oh, so, wow.
I kind of, that's how photography originated for me in college. And then, I mean, it's just been a blessing ever since. You know, I was, I started off doing graduations in college for like $35. So,
oh man,
here we are now.
We way past $85.
Bro. Oh yeah. We like quadruple that. But yeah, so, you know, born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, you know, growing up in DeKalb County school systems, you know, just trying to find my way throughout life, you know, with childhood struggles growing up. But, you know, here I am today, a blessing, you know, a father and a husband. So I'm blessed to be here, but that's a little bit most about me in a nutshell.
You hear that, people? Photographer. Didn't even know if he really wanted to get into it, but then he did. And look what happened. True art, man.
Like, when I tell you, it was my God-given, unhidden talent that I, like, as soon as I picked it up, it was just like, oh, I love this. And, wow. And it went from me never taking classes, everything self-taught, just straight from YouTube. I remember being in my dorm room just trying to finish up college with my PE degree. And I would spend hours on YouTube just searching stuff. How to do this. But I learned the basics. And that's what I try to preach and tell people, like, that want to do photography and figure out, just learn the camera and learn the basics and just go snap. Just do test shoots.
Like, exactly. No, because I like to teach as well. And when it comes to getting behind the camera, I remember talking to two different photographers. It was T. Patton and there was another photographer who were based in Alabama at the time. And I was living in like the Alabama, Columbus, Georgia.
Oh, OK. Yeah.
Border. Like, I was in Smith Station, like right outside.
Yeah. I know exactly what. Yeah. My boys are from Smith Station. Shout out to Rod, Pat, Joe, all my boys. Yeah. They from Smith Station. They went to high school down there.
Yeah, that's what's happening. So, like, I was down there living with my grandparents at the time after, like, high school and a few years out of high school. And I was talking with them, and they both said the same thing. And I carried that with me today. It's just learn your camera. I can't teach you how to be the photographer you want to be, but I can definitely teach you the photographer that you need to be in the beginning. So learn your camera, learn the rules of photography, the principles. And then from there, once you get the basics down, you'll be able to start generating your own stories.
No, you know? Definitely. And the biggest thing, what I'll say, is that starting off, I didn't know anything. And I literally search and YouTube everything. But once I start getting my skills up, I had some of the best people around, some of the best photographers in Atlanta that mm-hmm. was giving me game. And that's the point about, I don't care about telling anybody any type of secrets, any type of thing to my photography, but you have to know the basics. Like I can't give you the game if you ain't learned the basics. So you got to be seasoned a little bit for me in order to give you the game, but I don't mind giving the game is the thing. Like it's free knowledge, and I'll be a fool to sit there and learn from all the people that I learned from to turn around and not give it to somebody else.
Right, man. Like, cause a lot of people who think like that, they think it's lonely at the top. And I've always said, it's never lonely at the top. People are just too selfish to share it. No, you know what I'm saying? Right. God gives us our own lanes to go through. So it's like your story is your story while their story is theirs. We're not eating off of each other in that way. Or taking food from each other's plate, I should say. Definitely. But getting that knowledge, like you said, and being able to bestow that upon other young creatives or even older creatives, wherever you're at in your skill set, can work wonders. And you build a community behind that.
Exactly. And then I'm building somebody that I'm not going to say it like, oh, if you got any questions, just hit me up. Like, I really mean that. And I really stand on that because that's the type of person I am. But yeah, like you saying, like, you know, people just want to, it's no point of holding back, man. Like, we're on this earth to give back and show other people. Because at the end of the day, I can show you exactly the same thing. We can be in the same spot and have two totally different photos.
Exactly. Exactly, man. And that's the beauty of it, bro. I mean, going into the beauty of photography, going into the beauty of the photos, you have these different perspectives. I know with the perspectives that you've had around you, you've definitely gained some inspirations. Tell me this, who were like some of your inspirations behind the camera as you were learning it from the ground up?
Oh man, it was so many people. I hate to say, I don't want to sit here and name people off top, but it was so many influential people that was just there, and I would see their photography, and my first instinct was I want to do exactly what they do, but then I had to just realize that's just not me, you know. And I have my boys. They know who they are. I don't want to sit here and call nobody out. But, you know, all my boys, all the photographers that I'm cool with, they know I rock with them the hard way, and they all inspire me. Even people that I've taught some stuff to can turn around and inspire me as soon as they take a photo. Because it's just like, you can see something from one perspective, but seeing somebody else's perspective, it's just amazing, man, how they can see, like, we both seeing the same thing, but you thinking on a whole different level than me.
Right.
So that's just so intriguing and so, fun. It makes photography fun when you go about it that way.
Exactly. I remember there was a shoot I was at Kennesaw Mountain. This had to be maybe 2015. Shout out to my boy, Johnny Draco. I had him on the show before, and he had a friend who would help him during his clothing line days for Laters. And she came through. I met her. She was down to shoot, and it was me, her, my makeup artist at the time, and my homeboy Terry, who also like produces music and all. And he was shooting, doing videography at the time. We're all down there. We go to that little, I guess, creek area that leads to that waterfall.
Yeah.
And so she's laying on the rocks, and I'm shooting kind of far, and I'm getting my shots that I need. But then I see my boy Terry shot, and he got like this really dope close-up shot. And I was like, hold on, let me try it. And that shot came out so dope. I had to send you that shot, bro. If I can find it in my files, I have to send you that. But it was such a dope, clean shot, and I was able to do a little bit with it to tweak it to the shot that I wanted it to be. But it just like you said, you just get influenced by the people around you to the point where it's like, I see a shot. I did not see it that way. Let me go ahead and try to tell the story in this way as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it also builds that camaraderie with the other artists that you're with, because now y'all have like kind of like an unspoken bond based on
that. Right. Yeah, definitely. And it just goes to show you that I'm no better than you. It's not even like that. Like, I'm genuinely a nice guy, and I, you know, want the best for people, you know, and that's how I just go about life. You know what I'm saying? Just being respectful and treating everybody with the same respect that, you know what I'm saying, that people give you.
Nah, exactly, bro. With the respect that you give to your people, you also give good respect to your work and your craft as you continue to build and build and build. Give me sort of like a breakdown of what you describe your style to be.
Ooh, so my style is, I like color pop. I think that's my style.
That's true.
Definitely color pop. I like colors. I like I like seeing inspiration and, you know, trying to flip it in and turn it in my way and just go about just trying to be different and just trying to think about angles. I like sunlight. I like sunsets. Mm-hmm. I love the orange feel it gives. I love the, you know, the natural beauty, especially when I'm shooting my black models. It's just the melanin is amazing, go crazy, and it's just like it's unbeatable. And I don't think nobody else can really experience that feeling. I definitely enjoy the color pop. I would think that's my style. Want to get outside and want to challenge myself with the light, you know, with photography, figuring out at first. Because before I got blessed with this mirrorless camera that I love to death, I really had to learn how to figure out light. Because a lot of people was like, you don't use strobe? I'm like, no, I don't use strobe outside. Like, it's strictly like sunlight. And I figure out how to use the sunlight to make it make sense for me.
Right. No, I definitely love sunlight as well. Learning natural light versus studio lighting are pretty much night and day. Because,
yeah, seriously.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? With natural light, you're given the light. And you just have to work with it within a certain time. Don't shoot too high. Don't shoot too dark unless you have some sort of support. But with studio lighting, you have to actually create that scene. Mm-hmm. And depending on how many lights you have, you got to then worry about shadow. You got to worry about the lights popping too hot to where you have to change your exposure, where it's a lot easier to measure with natural light, depending on when you shoot, especially when you shoot during golden hour, as you were talking about.
Love it.
You know what I'm saying? Because that is definitely like a super, super warm feeling in regards to that. I wanted to mention, because you mentioned it off of earlier, when the light comes off of the melanin of the black skin, like, bro.
You know it's going to go crazy. You don't even got to look at it. You just know that, oh, this is going to be hard. And I already know. Like, I ain't even got to, like, let's just keep going before we lose it. Because you know you only got a hot minute, and you better take full advantage of it.
Yeah, you maybe have 30 minutes if you're lucky, depending on the time of year.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what's so crazy? Studio light is so much easier than outside, though. Like, when I tell you, I do a one light setup, and that's it. I put it on the same numbers every single time. I get the same great colors. Mm-hmm. But you know, me being a Nikon shooter, you know, I love my Nikon, and you know, it do what it do. So I'm excited about that.
All right, so I did not know this, or maybe I forgot, but we are closer now, just this moment, because I shoot Nikon as well.
I knew it. Hey, it's brotherhood within the Nikon, you know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm thinking about switching to Sony, but it's like, if I get my hands on a Nikon mirrorless, I may be all right.
Listen, we will meet up and I will let you shoot with my Nikon mirrorless. When I tell you, it's going to do what it do.
All right, man. I'm holding you to that. We're going to set something
y'all,
up.
Y'all hear mirrorless. This. I said, B-Mars, when I told y'all I was genuine from the start, I mean it. We're going to pull up and you're going to be able to shoot this Nikon mirrorless. You're going to go order it the next day.
That's a bet, bro. So shooting with colors, you have a colorful personality, it matches with your images. When it comes to setting up those golden hour shots, man, are you particular with tools, or do you just let the light shine and then you just shoot with your camera only? Because I know a lot of people like reflectors. I like using them sometimes, but when it comes to that natural light, sometimes that's all you need.
I haven't used a reflector in probably over 4 years. Like, I really strictly let the light do everything it's supposed to do. I will turn the model in any way to make sure that light hits. And you know, if the background give me what it give, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day. And what I always tell people with photography is no right and wrong. Mm-hmm. It's whatever your mind comes up with and whatever you want to shoot. There's no right or wrong. So if you want to do everything black and only thing you see is a little streak of that light, that's you. That's amazing. That's what you do.
Oh man, you've given like Bob Ross energy. What was it? there's no mistakes, there's only happy accidents.
Yep, happy accidents, definitely.
Yeah, man. So going into the nitty-gritty of your craft, it seems like you've just exploded with a lot of joy that you put into your images, into your workflow. But sometimes we do have those ups, and then sometimes we have those downs to where we're really trying to grind out our craft and perfect it as much as possible while dealing with those particular hardships. If you can, give me some of the, you know, downward moments in photography and how you overcame those challenges to get to where you are today.
Well, that's deep. The biggest thing, you know, a lot of people see me and see my personality, think everything is all good, I'm always happy. You know, I think some of my best images came in some of my downest moments, some of my moments where I didn't think that I was enjoying photography still. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, God puts those, like, clients or give me those signs to just keep going and keep going. But I've had moments where I didn't feel like doing photography. I felt like I wasn't in the creative space, you know. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is, and no fault to any of my clients, I love my clients, but at some point when I get so deep in client work that I don't have time for personal inspiration,
yep,
that hurts me. Because all I feel myself is doing the job, coming home, editing, and sending it off. And, you know, it's a happy, sad moment. But I definitely have those down moments where I don't feel creative. And for the most part, I try to do something. I try to take my mind off it when I do get in that space. But I also feel like I need to travel more. So that's, but I guess we'll talk about that close to the end about what's next for me. But
oh yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so just being down and not feeling that creative space is what I would say would be a down moment for me.
I get that. I've definitely had those moments as well. I believe that it hit me the hardest year three, because I've been shooting, I think this year would be 12 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've been in it for a while. And
I've been shooting since what, 16?
16? Oh, man. Oh, yeah, you've been going in. I started later.
Nah. I started my last year playing 13, I think.
Oh, 2000. Oh, you started not too far off of me then.
Yeah, 9 years.
Yeah, not bad at all. So, before I even get in, congratulations on that, because that is a feat. Trust me.
real.
But it's like year three, and I noticed that, like, I met photographers who kind of like hit that time, like the third year of being in their craft, and it just hit like a wall. And especially like, you're so okay, I got to make money off of this. Now you're money focused versus focusing on your creativity, or you do get an influx of work, and you just feel like you're just doing busy work at this point because you're doing jobs that really don't inspire you. Not to take away from your clientele, like you said, but you know, exactly. This isn't something that I set up, that I broke down, that I did a mood board treatment for. This is something that you wanted to do. And my job is just to capture it or re-express it the best way I can.
Right. Because my thing is, I don't really want to take them away from what they had in mind, mm-hmm. and then not be exactly what they want. So it's like when clients come to me, that I ask them what they want, and we go from there, and I give them exactly what they want. Because last thing I need is somebody saying, oh, that's not what I wanted. Because I'm going to feel like I got to redo the whole shoot, because mm-hmm. I'd rather take the burden of not getting the money again and making sure somebody's happy. Like that speaks more volumes than the money part of it.
No, for sure. Because this is a personal craft. You're definitely shooting someone in their element, and for them to have photos taken of them, they're in a very vulnerable state.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And they're paying. What a friend of mine, my boy, shout out Derek, bro. Sincere. He said that people are paying for your perspective. How do you see this person?
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what they're investing in. So, but like getting out of those funks, man, I think even for me, I started going to art shows and started hanging out with different types of artists. So outside of just photography, I did what, raw art show back in like 2013.
Oh yeah, I did that 2018, I think.
I promise y'all, we didn't plan this. This is just we're just this dope.
2018, man, I sold every piece I had. That was a blessing.
That is awesome. Congrats on that, bro. Man, and you deserve it,
bro.
For sure.
You too, man. Yeah.
So it's like going into that, I met my homeboy Victor. He definitely is a dope painter. I met Tiffany, who I've had on the show. She's also a portrait artist. Her paintings are ridiculously amazing. And it's just being around different people with those type of perspectives outside of the camera, it definitely rejuvenated something in me, and it broadened my perspective in photography, where I can add different elements from what I've learned from these type of artists and put it into my artistry.
That's definitely true, yeah.
Yeah, man. So going through those downward moments, downward spirals of like not feeling as creative as you could be, sometimes again, it gives you an opportunity to really open your eyes to something else, to really get that drive back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, cause deep down, you know, like I still got it, but it's just my creative isn't as top, it ain't as top level as it should be.
Right. Exactly. So with your creativity, man, and being where it is now, outside of like the down moments, you've gotten back to your groove. You've definitely put it on display. I noticed that, as I was doing some research on you, you do a lot of outside portraits, as you mentioned before, and a lot of location shots. When it comes down to getting your locations or picking your locations, is that more client-based or is that something that, you know, you're kind of drawn to do and then you just get feelings from a spot and you're like, you know what, this will be a great spot for you?
I think it's more on the 50-50. The biggest thing, I want to make sure that the client is comfortable in the location, because, you know, what like you were saying, people are in a vulnerable stage when they do photo shoots. Most of the time it's for any type of empowerment and they want to, you know, they want to show the world the new them or the better version of them. So it always goes back to make sure they're comfortable in the location and make sure the location makes sense for what they're trying to persuade to everybody or let everybody know the new version of them.
Sure.
So it's more on the 50-50, I would say. They would throw out some suggestions. I would throw out some stuff as well. And it's also like, what type of shoot are you trying to do? Like, mm-hmm. Want to do an outside maternity shoot? Okay, ooh, let's look at this. Usually grass or something nice or, you know, I just try not to make the background so busy that it takes away from the actual client or the person. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I remember I used to struggle with that when it came to choosing a location, because I always wanted to know, how do I incorporate the background without taking away from my client or the person I'm shooting, my muse or whoever, and finding that happy medium. And I remember talking to Be Chill. It was, we had a sit down. I was messaging him, I'm like, hey man, you know, can you sit down with me? I really want to kind of get your perspective as an artist. And he actually sat down with me and he looked at my work and he was like, bro, you need more negative space. And I mm-hmm. was like, really? He was like, yeah. He was like, your photos are good. They're sharp, but they're too sharp. You don't really give us much. And plus you can make room for error if you decide to want to tighten in your shots. You give yourself exactly. more wiggle room to do so.
That's definitely true.
And so I was like, dang, that's true. So I started really implementing more of negative space. So if you go to my page, like some older photos, you'll see that I implement the sky more. Or I started implementing more of the location to where the location can complement my muse more. Versus just shooting close up all the time and becoming more stagnant in my arts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's also a little hidden gem behind that, because somebody could be like, oh man, that's dope. Where is this?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, me being who I am, you know, I don't care. I'd be like, oh, it's such and such, you know what I'm saying? Or it's here. They'd be like, oh, I didn't know that whole thing was right there.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, sometimes like, I feel like it's so weird with photography sometimes, because I feel like I can't cut anything out. So I'm kind of like how Beachy was saying, like I grab a whole bunch of extra because I can always zoom in, but I can't zoom out once I take that photo.
Exactly. And I mean, he that particular knowledge for any type of photographer is super beneficial. So, and with your work, you definitely implement the background very well, and you also implement bokeh very well. So being able to just kind of blur out that background so that way the essence of that photo could really shine, being that
definitely.
Subject, is really cool. And also, even your like, you do like, you know, white wall shoots or like your plain studio shoots that you do, being that you give enough wall space so that way we can take in who we're looking at based on who you're shooting.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you definitely use negative space very, very well in your imagery.
Now, yeah, and then it's so funny because I always tell my clients, I'll be like, listen, you're going to see a whole bunch of extra stuff, but I know you want to post it for Instagram, so I'm going to bring it in, I'm going to crop it and make sure it's perfect fit, because I don't want to see anybody screenshotting my photos and you got white stuff on the side so your photo can fit. Like, I'm going to make sure, like, that's my biggest pet peeve.
Yeah.
I don't even care if you put an edit on the photo. At the end of the day, you pay for them, they're yours.
Yeah. But
I'ma have them IG post ready. So don't feel like you gotta put white walls on the side or crop it and all that. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, to each his own, you know, and photography is just special to me, man. It just came at, you know, a pivotal point in my life where I felt like I didn't know what was next for me, but I knew I wanted to do something, and I wanted to be so far that people didn't even think, like, what? You do photography? What did that come about, you know? And everything just made sense, and that's why I still do it to this day.
Oh, I mean, B-Mars is synonymous with photography at this point. Like, I wouldn't have known you as anything else being on your, outside of your memes that you posted, I comment on. Right. But other than that, it's just like, nah, if he's not doing photography, you know, outside of this conversation we're having today, who is he? You know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you. I'm an elementary PE teacher.
Hey, there it but is.
See, nobody, a lot of people don't know that. I get out of work, be a whole different person.
I'm telling you, man. See, you get it here, guys. You get the exclusives here. You didn't know that.
I don't even know that. I'm a teacher. I'm out for the summer. So, what's up?
Oh, yeah. It's time to shoot. We got time. We got plenty of time to shoot.
I don't shoot on Sundays and Mondays. The biggest thing I learned with having a child is prioritizing my time with my wife and my son.
Yeah.
If any photographers out there listening, prioritize your time. Because it makes sense, and you want to keep everybody happy. So take those days off. Don't get burned out. Can't get burned out.
I feel that, bro. And we're going to touch more on that side of your, your journey in a little bit for sure. Because I definitely want to kind of dive deep into your balance between photography and fatherhood and being a husband. But going back a little bit to your environments, as far as like where you shoot, give me some details on some of your favorite spots that you've shot and then you've gotten the most inspiration from.
Oh, man, I used to, listen, they fenced up my place, man. It was a little beach area that I used to always shoot at out, I guess it's out like a Panola area, like Panola something park. It's off of a trail. Man, it was the perfect. I felt like I was at the beach, man. I could take my clients over there, the one that wanted to do like swimwear or any type of shoot like that. I did a collab with a bunch of my plus size model friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was an amazing shoot, but this particular location was my favorite because I would always go around sunset and it was just giant open with nothing but sand and some greenery behind it. It was my favorite place. Besides that, I love, it's a farm over here in Stonecrest off of like Klondike. It's a little farmhouse. It's amazing too, because the grass just goes far and far behind. I mean, it's probably, I don't know, it's probably 50 acres of just open field over there. And it's amazing. I actually did my wife's maternity shoot over there and did a couple other shoots over there as well. But outside of that, man, I just like finding new places. Like, I actually have a friend. We share a note together, and we both just dropping their addresses in there. And we just kind of just try to drive around. Sometimes when I'm early to a shoot, I'll drive around the area a little bit, see what else they got to offer. Because you never know, man. It's like hidden spots everywhere.
No, for sure. I haven't done it in such a long time, but I love scouting. I love scouting locations. I know one of my favorites was Briarcliff Mansion.
I loved
shooting there. Very first time I shot there, I shot this young lady. She had like this red dress on to contrast the location because of all the greenery.
It just made it pop. I already know.
And you already
know.
Man, I have to send you those too. And you already, I already had that conversation with B Chill. So you know I'm using that negative space. I'm showing this location.
Definitely. Showing that greenery because that red is going to pop.
Yeah, the red popped in the greenery and it was just broken down as well. And I think I wanted that contrast as well for somebody who wanted to dress nice in a very broken area, man, so she could be a light in that place too. So it was like a really, really cool concept for me to be able to go there and be like, you know, I want you in a dress and I want to shoot you here. I know there was a spot that I snuck into to shoot. But we didn't really get to shoot there. We were just scouting, me and my homeboy. Shout out to London. It was like this old movie theater that they kind of redone nowadays in Columbus. But it was on Broadway, and it was closed down. Nobody was in there, but he knew how to get in there. Bro, to be in, like, a theater that is completely just... It looked like a scene from The Last of Us.
Wow.
Yeah, it just looks like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, dang, this is really spooky. It's really creepy, but it has such a great story. And I just thought that, like, stories like those old buildings, decrepit buildings that used to be something, I love those type of locations because you get to really capture some sort of history.
Right, and you can bring a motto in there and just brings a beauty in something that can be broken down. There's no difference than, like, a human, per se.
All right, now that we've gotten a little more perspective on your environments, man, the photography climate is definitely always evolving and changing. And with that, it also involves videography. So I saw on your website that you also do, like, filmmaking. Give me, like, a bit of your experience behind the camera in that way outside of photography.
Well... It's more, I don't personally do photography. It was more of a collab with a videographer. My biggest thing is, I would love to actually figure out videography, but I just feel it's so time consuming. I feel like I just need to focus on what's strong for me, which is photography. And all my clients get mad at me all the time because, of course, they don't want to pay two different people. They'd rather just pay me to do both. But
yeah.
I wouldn't be true to myself and I would be doing them disservice to sit there and say, oh yeah, I can do that because I know I can't. And I know I don't have the attention span for it, for one. But photography, you know, I'm spending 30 to 45 minutes on one photo. You imagine sitting there and trying to break down a video and then doing any changes? Like, nah. But I respect all my clients, but I respectfully decline to do any video. And I even bought a gimbal and everything. Like, this time I'm going to do it. I'm going to get into it.
Yeah.
I set that thing up and I said, you know, B-Mar, sometimes you just got to be real with yourself and understand that that's just not you. But I have good videographer friends. And I don't mind calling them or I don't mind referencing them and tell them, hey, look, I got a client. She want to double up. Let's make it work. If this pay works for you, let's go ahead and do that. So personally, I don't do videography. I'm not going to sit here and lie to the podcast or these good folks on the podcast.
No, you know what? I appreciate your honesty because I know I saw it on there and I was like, okay, maybe he's like dabbling because I didn't see much of it. So I thought you were kind of dabbling in it. Maybe you had a project that wasn't posted on your website specifically. But I do appreciate that because it's okay to stay in your lane if that works for you. I know a lot of people, they talk about growth a lot and it's okay to venture off, but it's okay to just be like, you know what? Think about it like this. Jhené Aiko, right? Super dope singer, very sultry voice, but she stays in her lane and she knows who her audience is.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? She may vary, you know, do some different songs here and there with different artists, but she knows where her core is. And that's why I always really loved her music.
Right. Soulful. She's not going to go crazy on the stage. You're going to sing her a song and you're going to feel it.
Exactly.
And that's how I try to treat my photography. Like, you're going to, like, yeah, I might not do videos, but these photos is going to hit. They're going to be fire, like, off top, like, you already know. I just try to stay in my lane, man, and try to be honest with myself. Like, I don't want to ever feel like I'm taking somebody's money and I can't give them the service that they want. So I won't even play around with it. Like, people's like, oh, you should just try it. Like, I don't want to sit here and disappoint neither one of us.
Right.
Nor do I want to be here stressed out trying to figure out what song goes with or what clip supposed to go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So shout out to all my videographers. I respect y'all. And what y'all do is amazing. And it takes a lot of talent.
It takes a lot of talent, time. And also you have a different eye for that. Shout out to my boy Jay Crump. We worked on a project together. And I remember calling him about that as well. Because my client at the time wanted video along with photos, and I definitely want to learn it for the sake of learning it, and get into it a little bit more. I don't know if I will go as far as like taking people's money just like you, because we both agree on that point. You don't ever want to take money for a job that you're not comfortable with, because then again, you know, you're really cheating the customer out of
what they want. And I could definitely send them somebody to know exactly, but I tell you what I do want to get into. is as soon as my wife lets me, I'm going to buy me a drone, and I just want to get drone video. Like, I feel like that is so unique to me.
Yeah.
And I just want to get me a DJI, a little Maverick, you know. I don't want the most expensive one, but I just want to be able to fly up and just, like, see sunsets and stuff. Like, I feel like that over-the-top, that bird's-eye view is just amazing to me. Like, just being able to see stuff from up so high is just, that's inspiring to me.
I love that, man. I love it. Funny story. I'll actually give you something dope that might inspire you. I was doing Uber. I was driving Uber one night. And whenever I picked up a passenger, I will always slip in photography some kind of way because you never know where the next job can come from.
Exactly.
And so I'm driving, and it was like this older gentleman. I'm taking him back to his house. And we're just talking, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm just working, just got off the 9 to 5. I'm doing this, and I also do photography. He's like, wow, you're in photography? I'm like, yeah, you know, blah, 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 blah. And as we're talking, he talks about his drone. Bro, before getting out of the car, he showed me drone footage and photos for like 10 minutes.
No.
Yes. He pulled out his phone. I pulled up in his driveway and literally sat in the car before getting out of the car, and he showed me all the stuff that he did with his drone. And I'm talking about, he had such a passion for it. I couldn't just kick him out because he had such a passion for
it. Like, you, he was waiting on, like you were heaven sent to have that conversation with him.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, yeah, man, you know, I did this, and I caught it with this, and he was, and it was dope imagery. And so to hear you say that, I can imagine you talk to your next Uber ride, Uber driver with that too. But, right, it's like, yeah, look at the sunset, man. But nah, it was just dope to see that type of passion for drones. And I can I developed an appreciation for drone footage outside of like the stuff that I saw on YouTube because of how passionate he was about it.
No, that's definitely true. And piggybacking off of what you were saying about you never know who somebody is, I'll tell you, some of my favorite clients have came from just introducing myself or being around somebody that knew this person that say, hey, you don't know B Mars? Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, like, it's like, that's why I treat everybody with the same respect. I always go about it. I don't ever push my photography to, I just kind of let them know that's what I do. And if they, you know, feel the need to look me up, they'd be like, oh, I didn't know. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. Like, but I'm not going to sit here and boast and brag about myself. But I'm also going to let you know that I do photography because you never know who is who. And also to piggyback off what when you were asking me earlier about some of my down moments, I'll be 100% honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my most difficult clients have paid me the most.
Really?
Have came back the most. And I mean, some of them are so like everything to down to the T you have to correct. Oh, why did you do this? Why did you do this? And turn around and tip me. I mean, one of my most difficult clients tipped me $150 once I was finally editing the photos because they knew it's like they inspired me because they knew I could do it and they knew I was capable of capturing exactly what they wanted. But it took me time to get to that point. And I had to pull myself out of the frustration part of it mm-hmm. and just let them know that they're not mad or upset with me. They just simply want some a particular way. And I didn't want to rush, but I also didn't want to spend hours on one photo because I knew I had to edit, like, I don't know, back then I was editing like 12 photos, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But I was editing 12 photos and I was spending so much time to turn around and say, okay, I don't want it that way. I want you to do it another way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with dark times comes light, and it was just inspiring once I look back at it now, but I was frustrated like crazy back in the day.
Oh, man, I feel that. I've definitely had a run-in not too long ago, maybe about a year and a half ago. I had a client, and I'm talking about, I think I did, because they were close to somebody I knew, I did like 10 photos. And normally it was like 10. I would do something very, very simple. You've seen my work. I'm very simplistic when it comes to my editing to make things look as natural as possible. But exactly. when I tell you, like, every note was like an essay. I want this, and I want this removed, and I want this and this. I sat up. I think I worked for like 6 hours straight.
Mm.
And I was like, I should have charged her more. I should have charged you way more. I forget that you family with somebody or whatever. Never again. Right. It also does, like, to look at the bright side of it, like you mentioned, you also get a chance to really challenge yourself and you understand how you work and what works for you and what doesn't. So there is a silver lining in that process.
Right, because I was at the verge of telling her, if you wanted that style, you should have went to somebody that does that style. Mm-hmm. But I was like, nah, I'm going to bite this bullet. I'm going to figure it out. And we're gonna make it happen.
Yeah. And now you got long-term clients that pay you the most. I love that, man.
The most difficult ones. And so, if they listening to this, they know who they are. But I love you y'all. Send it to them. Most difficult. Yeah, they're going to be the first one I send it to.
All right. So, going through the difficult clients and getting a little more money out of those clients that you really show that appreciation, that money goes back into the household. And the household right now contains you, your wife, and your beautiful, beautiful, handsome son, man. First of all, congratulations.
Man, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, man. That is my little man.
Yeah, man, I love it. I love the dynamic, bro. I love how involved you are when it comes to showing on your Instagram and everything, man. But it bears the question, because I know a great deal of artists, they sometimes are just laser focused and they lose sight sometimes on either the family or their craft, you know? So for you, how do you find that balance? I know you mentioned earlier you take Sundays and Mondays off, but are those like the only steps that you take to find that balance between your craft, business, and family? Or do you take a little bit more to kind of make sure everything is good in the household?
I take a little bit more. Like I cut out some stuff I don't do. I don't do events anymore. Don't get me wrong. I like the events. I like what happens. I like being around people and enjoy the time, but I just feel like I need to focus on photography that's creative for me, you know. Events that I'm just taking pictures of everybody in the moment, that's cool. That's mm-hmm. not what I want to dive in. So I took that off my site. I don't do any events anymore, but I have great people who do events and I refer them out. My sister, I call her my sister Carm. I give it to her. My boy M. Whitley, I give it to him. I gave him two today, actually. But so I try to do that, and then, you know, I'm gonna be 100 with you, bro. My wife is amazing. She does absolutely everything, you know, because she does full-time real estate. So shout out to her. If anybody want to buy a house, look her up, Kayla Stafford. But she does so much for the household that I'm able to go out and do photography when I want to. I'm able to let her know, hey, this is my schedule for the week. And we just make it work, man. Like, she lets me be creative. She lets me do what I want to do. She admires my artwork. She, you know, she's one of my biggest inspirations. So definitely shout out to her. I love her to death. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bringing our beautiful son in the world was just life-changing. And the fact that I still can do that with him here, and I know time is demanding. So, but I definitely have to, sometimes I have to make sense. Like, if the session doesn't make sense, I'm not going to take it. Sure. Because I have to, like, I have obligations, and I can't be shooting late at night. Like, no, you can't book me at 10 o'clock at night, because I'm trying to see my son before he goes to sleep. You know, it's stuff like that I had to really take into perspective. And just as a man, you have to understand that, or you're going to be strong in one end and lack at another. And lacking at home is probably the worst thing you can do, because my wife will definitely let me know if I need to do something.
I understand that, man. Shout out. First of all, shout out to you putting your wife on. Anybody who's listening, definitely give her a call. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, B-Mars will have this information at the end. But also, just taking time to recognize the position that you really hold now in your household, to where you definitely prioritize your family. Sure, your craft is dope and you love it and it came beforehand, but you definitely take the time to make sure that your family is loved. And I think that is one of the greatest feats anybody can have, because sometimes it can be hard, but as you continue to grow, you gain perspective on what's really important.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And now, one thing my wife would tell you, if I'm out at a late shoot, I call her, what you want to eat? You can have whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I just got paid good. You can have whatever. What you want, juicy crab? Well, I'll get it.
Hey, man, I'm not mad at that. But let's circle back to you and your wife right quick, because I saw this recently and I wanted to talk about it on the show. Photography has been such a major component in your life to the point where you met your wife on a photo shoot.
She put the story up, you know, told the whole world. You know, it's so funny because, like, coming from me, like, I can't never hook up with any of my clients. Like, that's just one professional. I don't want my name out there like that. You know, it was definitely something special about her. And I was definitely, quiet minds wanted to know what was all in that little light-skinned head of hers.
Quiet minds wanted to know.
So I definitely, yeah, we met at a photo shoot, actually, with my boy Stan. Shout out to Decatur Stan.
I met him on the photo walk, too.
So that's my neighborhood boy. That's my neighborhood brother. But he joined me to do the photo shoot I was doing. It actually started my friend from that I met in college named Jaleesa. I had put up a post that I was looking for a ballerina. I was sitting in my room. I was like, I'm looking for a ballerina. And then it just went crazy. Tag this person. And then my friend Jaleesa tagged Kayla. And I was like, ooh.
Do it.
I was like, she's single? Like, what's up? You know? But going into it, we did a ballerina shoot. It was down. Actually, it was at the same spot where I proposed.
Nice.
So we did. It was downtown by, like, Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. And so we did the photo shoot. It was great vibes, you know, everything was cool. Kind of like, hey, what's your number so I can just send you the photos when I get done? Nothing like that. And I don't know, man, we just kind of stayed connected and we hang out and, you know, Carl had small talk and all that. And then we start going on little friendly dates and stuff like that. And then, you know, we kind of took a break. It was like, oh, we don't know what we want and stuff like that. And then 2 years later, we reconnected. And man, I'm telling you, it's the best thing, the best decision I could have ever made.
I ain't mad at you, brother. Nothing. Woman who definitely supports you in your craft, man.
I mean, she had a choice. That's how I met her, you know.
Yeah, man.
Gotta appreciate photography. And that was the biggest thing. I was like, as a photographer, and sometimes I have those clients who might do some topless stuff or, you know, some semi-nude, and being able to come home and still show my wife that she wouldn't feel some type of way or think that, you know, I'm cheating or anything crazy like that.
Yeah.
She just always saw the art side of it, and that's why I had the hands off to her. You know, I appreciate her for letting me do photography and letting me continue to build in my creative space.
I love it, man. Love that so much, man. I appreciate you sharing that, because I know there are some people who struggle with that balance and, you know, trying to do what they want to do, but still want to make their partners happy. So for those who are able to have those supportive partners and whatever craft you're in, blessings to y'all.
You know, the biggest thing I have to say is make sure you answer your phone when your girl calls, no matter what you're doing. Because if you don't answer that phone and she ring two times or three times, you still answer that phone. Y'all doing something. Y'all supposed to be doing that studio. So, you know, I got my son now, so I answer on the first ring. Hold on. We got to stop the shoot. I got to answer my
wife. Amen.
She know I'm doing the shoot, so it got to be something important. And exactly. Then I get on the phone, she'd be like, are you done yet? What do you want to eat? I'd be like, man, yo, get off my phone.
You could have texted me.
Right. I did. You didn't respond.
Oh, good, bro. Well, with that, man, I mean, you've definitely set like this precedent of very, very clean work with your photography. You know, being the father that you are, being the husband that you are, you're definitely the example, bro. But with that, what else do you have planned for us, man? What else can we expect from B Mars?
You know, man, you know, B Mars, you know, tell them what I might do. You know, I'm trying to be a comedian, man, because my mama said, you know, you don't figure out life, then you still full of shit. You can be a comedian. You know?
That's fair. That's fair.
But no, in all seriousness, man, I'm just enjoying the time being a father, man. I actually want to get my son into some modeling, man. He's just a happy baby all the time. Okay. And so I bought him all these outfits, and man, we about to turn up this summer. It's gonna all be a whole bunch of, I hope people still enjoy my work. They see just photo shoots of my son. But yeah,
we will.
But I have a friend named Kyle Pope. Shout out to Kyle. we're trying to look into getting a peer space, a location
mm-hmm.
where we can have other creators come and spend time and enjoy the space and just create different artwork, however they want to do it, possibly have events. You know, just trying to think something big because, listen, the thing about it is that everything is getting way more expensive. So that's like another asset, another job that you got to have. So photography is good. It's good money. Teaching is okay. I'm going to be honest. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my photography makes up for that. But I also know I can't sit here and be doing photo shoots for the rest of my life if I want to, you know, make it big and give my family the life that we expect that we never had before. So just trying to tap in and being more cautious on financial decisions and trying to not make the same decisions on finances that I did when I was younger and just understanding that health is wealth and just putting my family in a better position. So anything that involves money or bettering myself, I'm all about it. And I guess we're just going to have to see what the future holds.
Man, I love that. And I appreciate that. You definitely inspired me to really think more about my craft as well, bro. And where I'm at now, I love, but I know there can be more for me. And listening to your story, listening to your experiences, man, from figuring it out in college to really growing your love for it, to meeting your wife on set, to building your clientele the way that you have and sticking, you know, them sticking with you through the longevity of your career, man. You have definitely become such a trendsetter, more than you know, really. And I just want to say, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate your craft. And I definitely appreciate you as a person and being just who you are unapologetically, bro. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, man. You were a true pleasure.
Man, thank you, man. I appreciate you doing this. Because as a creative, we don't get these outlets unless we're big time and we got 500,000 followers.
Mm-hmm. You
know? And so having a space like this, man, of course I listen to the podcast. And man, just hearing everybody staying, I get inspired just by listening to other people, other creatives. So I just want to say thank you for having me. I appreciate you. And also, you know, I build my photography off of my personality. I don't do marketing. I don't sit there and try to, you know, dumb my prices down to make sense to people. It kind of like, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And people just book off the vibes. Like, I remember I had a couple of clients that's like, I just booked just because I thought you were cool and you were funny. Like, and I just, obviously I needed photos, but I just like your energy and I knew it was going to be a good time, you know? And so I kind of pride myself on that and not cocky in any way, just really appreciative, man, because talking about just coming from football and just having to be in this space so I can create and everybody enjoys it more than I expect sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest reward is when I send a client their photos and some of the messages I get back. Like, I have screenshots of just some of the response I got after I sent photos. And man, whenever I'm down, like we were talking about earlier, in the funk, I go back and look at those because they really inspired me to just keep going and keep doing what I love.
Man, I love that. Indeed, man, you got to stay inspired, bro. You got to stay inspired and you got to keep the right circle around you, which you have done with the all the shout outs that you gave on the show, man. You definitely have the right people around you. And I hope that even with our connect, bro, that we definitely continue to grow as peers in this craft, bro.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I'm definitely we're gonna link up so you can get that mirrorless feel so you can go and buy it and probably get in trouble for buying it. But yeah, so you can go and buy that.
Exactly.
And the good thing about it is that I have true friends. Like, I got best friends from college mm-hmm. that I'll drop and do anything for, and none of them do anything related to photography. So having that balance of friends, like not feeling like you got to have all creative friends, all photographer friends, a videographer, but I have just normal go to work. Some of them got big jobs, but they are able to just support me and we can be on a more personal level, and I can take myself away from that photographer Barry and just, you know, the person I am that everybody doesn't see. Yeah. Outside of social media. So shout out to all my boys. Y'all know who y'all are. I love y'all to death. And thank y'all for inspiring me on a personal level.
Oh, man. Heartfelt. And we'll end that here, man. Again, thank you for coming on the show, bro. Heartfelt ending, man. That's how we got to do it. You heard it here. Creative Conversations. You can find this show on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. Again, my name is Blair, but y'all, my friends, call me Brock. Until next time, stay blessed and definitely stay creative. Peace.